And this is Kathleen Stevenson in studio. And we just heard the interview with Oregon author Gina Ochsner, who will, as I mentioned, be appearing at Wordstock on November 5th. And now we're going to talk about Wordstock, Portland's book festival, with Amanda Bullock, Wordstock Festival Director. Amanda, welcome. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Let's start by getting a general idea of what Wordstock is for people who may not know.
Sure. Wordstock is a one-day intergenerational celebration of books, reading, stories, and literature, in a nutshell. So that means onstage author events, that means writing workshops, events for children and all ages, live music, a beer tent, 'cause Portland, and food carts, and much, much more, actually.
Right. And when you say intergenerational, it's to get at the idea that all generations are welcome?
Yes, exactly. Readers from 0 to 100 and of all kinds of books. We really hope that there's something for everybody and strive for there to be something for everybody at the festival.
What role does literary arts play in this event?
Yeah, literary arts is presenting the festival for the second year. Wordstock used to be run by Wordstock for 9 years. And then last year, in 2014, Literary Arts acquired the festival. It was a friendly process. It wasn't like a hostile takeover or anything like that. The festival approached Literary Arts. And last year, we relaunched the festival as a program of Literary Arts, moving to downtown. Our base is at the Portland Art Museum. And this year, we've expanded into a total of 8 venues on the South Park blocks. So we're really running the show now with the help of course, hundreds of volunteers and many other people.
Right. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the history and the sort of almost like a revival of Wordstock a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. What kind of changes did you make when you took it over, when Literary Arts took it over?
Sure. So one of the big changes was moving from the convention center to downtown. It's really important to us that the festival feels Portland, feels like it could only happen here, and is very grounded in Portland and the culture and the great things that are happening in this city. And I think that happened before I got here, but I really agree with that decision. And the Portland Art Museum has been an amazing, amazing partner, and we're really grateful for that collaboration. We also moved it from 2 days to 1 day. So it's still a lot happening in that single day, but I think that that's a good fit for the kind of festival that we're throwing. We introduced Lit Crawl Portland as a partner event last year also, which I heard you mention with Gina. Thank you. This year versus last year, Lit Crawl is moving to Friday, the night before the festival, and we'll be downtown as well. We were on the east side last year, but we'll be downtown this year, and it's expanding. So
great. So did I maybe assume something that Gina's appearance at Lit Crawl was on Saturday? Is Lit Crawl on
Lit Crawl's on Friday night.
Okay.
But it was on Saturday last year. But this year it's on Friday night.
Okay.
So all that information's on the Literary Arts website also.
Yeah. And what is the Literary Arts website?
It's literary-arts.org.
Great. We'll repeat that.
Thank
sure.
you.
Now, I didn't attend Woodstock last year, but I heard that the crowds were bigger than expected.
They were, yeah. We were getting ready for about 5,000 or 6,000 people, which would have been double the last festival. And 8,500 people came in the rain, which is amazing. Like, that means that Portland is ready for this festival, and I think it's an amazing mandate for the event in response to what we built. So our first project this year was to create space to accommodate those numbers of people. So we've improved infrastructure. We've built in, like I said, a lot of breathing room. We actually worked with the city to shut down those 2 blocks of streets, so there'll be more space for people to move around, and it'll be safer to move between different events. And we've gone from 2 to 8 venues. So
the art museum is sort of the hub,
yes.
Is that right?
And
so talk a little bit about how someone who is going to the festival, how they might navigate it in the best way to make sure they take advantage of the things they want to take advantage
of. That's
a
good question. So I would recommend buying your ticket in advance. Advance tickets are $15 on our website, and they'll be $18 the day of. kids 17 and under and high school students with ID are free, but they can still register and get their ticket ahead of time. Not only do you save a few dollars, but we've built a larger box office infrastructure so that advanced ticket buyers will be able to get into the festival more quickly. So we have a bigger box office this year and more central, which will be actually on Southwest Park Ave in front of the Art Museum. So first of all, buy your ticket ahead of time. That $15 ticket does come with a $5 voucher that you can spend in the book fair that day. So you get free money to buy books, which is very exciting.
Yeah, talk about the book fair. What is that? What's that like?
It's great. We've expanded that this year as well. We've moved some of the booths out of the Criedel Grand Ballroom, which is on the third floor of the Art Museum's Mark Building, and we've expanded into the Sunken Ballroom on the first floor. So we have two ballrooms, and the book fair features really exciting local, regional, and national publishers of books, of chapbooks, of zines, different MFA programs. So you could go learn about how to start writing or, you know, hone your craft for your own writing. You could discover exciting new work. And of course, we have a big bookstore from Powell's selling all of the festival authors' books. And this year, Green Bean Bookstore is joining us as well to sell the children's and middle grade author books at that stage. So it's a really great kind of picture of what's happening in the book world right now.
Yeah, I talked to somebody last year that kind of got wasn't able to get around very well because of the crowds and stayed in the book fair, I think, the
really?
Whole day.
Really? I'm sure the vendors are happy about that. But we've made more space, so hopefully it'll be easier to get around this year, because we definitely heard that, and that was our first priority.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. And so maybe this would be a good time to sort of give people a more specific idea of authors they might encounter or workshops they might encounter.
Sure.
Talk about more specifically about who are some of the, well, I don't even want to use the word highlight.
Yeah, I don't like to pick favorites. Yeah. I love all my authors.
I bet. And so I guess I'm going to allow you to pick out a few to just sort of give a range or something
sure.
like that.
Yeah. The first thing I want to point out is that many authors are appearing multiple times. So we have authors on our eight main stages, but then we also have pop-up events, which are in the galleries of the Portland Art Museum, where we pair the written work with the visual art in the museum. So, you know, Gina's book might be in front of something that's very folkloric or something that's like Eastern European themed. And sometimes it's very on the nose, like the book The Queen of the Night is in front of a portrait of a queen. But sometimes it's a little more of an abstract connection.
Yeah. Great.
And those are really fun. So it's a great kind of way to, you might wander around the museum and stumble on a poet, which is always very exciting for you and the poet. And then there are some authors teaching workshops as well. On stage, we're really excited this year to be in the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall, which gives us a huge space and a chance for a lot of people to see some of the kind of marquee events of the festival. And at the Schnitzer this year, we have Sherman Alexie, who's amazing. Yeah. He has his new picture book, Thunderboy Jr., which we're really excited about. And then at noon at the Schnitzer, Colson Whitehead will be in conversation with Yaj Yessi, who's a debut author. And I'm really looking forward to that conversation. I think the John Krakauer Barry Lopez event was sort of this nexus of the festival last year, and I think this is our Krakauer Lopez this year. And
because
the room is so big.
Colson Whitehead has the new book out.
He has The Underground Railroad, and then Yaz's book Homegoing is phenomenal. It's so good. It's a bestseller, and I really loved it. And Rekaya Adams is moderating that discussion, and the hall is so big. The Schnitzer seats over 2,000 people, so I think that's going to be really accessible for a lot of festival attendees, and we're excited to have a stage that large so that so many people can see those.
Mm-hmm. And when we talked with Gina and we mentioned she is going to be part of a panel, tell us a little bit more about the panel idea and maybe some other sampling of the whole panel kind of thing that's going on at Wordstock.
So one of the strengths, I think, of a book festival is this density of authors. You have so many people. We have 100 people who might never be at the same event again. And that's such a great opportunity to explore the way their work intersects and is in conversation with each other. And so the panels this year, I really tried to do multi-genre panels. So we have a lot of panels where there's like a poet in the mix or a graphic novelist in the mix that have people who write both fiction and nonfiction so that they're not strictly divided. There are all poet panels, but so they're not as strictly divided just by those topics. For example, we have a panel called War and the Aftermath that features Maximilian Uriarte, who's an Oregonian who served in the Marines. He did two tours in Iraq, and he wrote a fictional graphic novel called The White Donkey that's about Marines in Iraq. And then Sarah Glidden, who wrote a nonfiction graphic work about called Rolling Blackouts that is about journalism also in the Middle East and talking to refugees and different people affected by the conflict there. And then the third panelist on there is Solmaz Sharif, who's a poet. Her book, Look, is a National Book Award finalist and also deals directly with American conflict in the Middle East and that kind of stuff. And so I think that that's going to be a fascinating discussion about how we tell these stories and what is fiction and what is nonfiction and journalistic responsibility and
right.
But with pictures, because it's graphic novels.
Right.
So.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it, does that work where each person gives a little presentation and then, or how is a panel discussion usually structured for?
I leave it up to the moderators to really define it. But what we typically have is a very short reading so that people can get a feel for the person's work if they're not familiar with it. And then a moderator leads the discussion. So they've read all the books and have prepared questions about the things that the books have in common and onto the theme of the work. And then it's usually open to the audience for the last 10 or 15 minutes so that people get a chance. Because I think, you know, a festival versus something like a bookstore event or Portland Arts and Lectures, which we love, we're launching tonight, Portland Arts and Lectures. You're so close to the author, like you're physically, it's more intimate and you have a chance to, you know, meet them at the signing and interact directly with the authors. So most panels will have an audience question.
And so the interaction with the author happens at other places besides the place where the event where they're speaking.
Yeah. Most of the authors will be signing books after their event at the Portland Art Museum. So you have a chance to get your book personalized. Makes a great holiday gift if you want to get one for someone else. And then also with the pop-ups, I mean, there's no mics, there's no seats. They're very lo-fi and very kind of like very intimate, actually, in this exciting way. So I think that that's a great opportunity.
How do you, and I mean, what was your role in planning Wordstock?
Yeah. You know, everybody at Literary Arts works on it and a lot of people outside, but this is my primary job at Literary Arts. So I spend all year and more planning the festival. So I book the authors. I work with our venues approach the venues that we expanded into this year. I got the street closure permit. I have a lot of help and we have a really great team. But I, most of the year I do kind of everything.
Right.
Yeah.
I get that feeling. And how do you, and I assume other people decide who to invite, what kind of mix you want, what are the factors involved?
Yeah, that's a huge part of my job and something that I think about a lot. We did meet our goal again this year. We feature half Oregon writers, which we're really proud of. And it's not hard to do with the talent that is in Oregon and in Portland. And so I look at what's coming out this year. Actually, I already have a list going for next year because it is new books. It's books that came out in the last year, 18 months, depending. So I kind of pay attention to what's coming down the pike and what I think other people are going to be interested in, as well as what I'm interested in. We try to be as diverse and inclusive as possible in every aspect of that word, you know, age, geography, race, sexual orientation, genre, especially. We want to make sure we have a wide variety of representation on stage at the festival.
Right. So. And what is the range of genres that you might encounter at Wordstock?
We've got graphic literature, like I mentioned, and poetry. We've got some sci-fi stuff. There's a whole panel on time travel books that also includes graphic novel as well. And there's a great comics exhibit up at Oregon Historical Society right now, which is one of our venues. So a lot of the comics writers are at OHS, which is really cool. We have nonfiction, both narrative nonfiction and more historical. So like, you know, memoir, essay, Sean Levy's new book about Rome.
La Dolce Vita.
Yeah. Fiction, historical fiction, contemporary, kind of realistic modern fiction, magic realist kind of thing. So
yeah,
I really try to kind of hit as much as I can. Megan Abbott's coming, who's a really great kind of literary thriller writer. So I'm excited about her too.
So there probably is maybe behind the scenes connection between these authors that are staying here for a short period of time.
Yeah. That's one of the coolest parts about the festivals for authors, I think, because they also get a chance to meet like their literary heroes and people whose work they admire. And, you know, a lot of them are friends, and they get a chance to see their friends that live all across the country. And so that's a really important part for us, is to take good care of the authors and make sure that they feel welcome and at home here in Portland.
And if people who are writers who are going to the event that are not part of the event but are going to the event, are there particular aspects of Wordstock that are applicable to people who are writers?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, all writers are readers, I would hope. So anything yeah. where they're talking about books will hopefully be interesting. But we also do have the writing workshops, which my colleague Susan Moore, who runs the Oregon Book Awards, she puts those together. And those feature local writers as well as some of the writers who are coming in for the festival and span all kinds of topics. So,
what's an example of one of those?
Helen Phillips, who's coming in from elsewhere for the festival, is teaching a workshop on flash fiction. We have a workshop on writing young adult literature.
And flash fiction is?
Super short fiction. Really, really short.
Okay.
Yeah, like one sentence even.
Wow.
And Helen's done a lot of work around that and is really, really good. So, yeah, writing for the young adult audience. There's a workshop with Betsy Amster about how to find an agent, which I know is of high interest to many writers. So everything from kind of the business of writing to actual craft workshops where you're, you know, doing exercises. I'm actually not a writer, so I've never taken a craft workshop, so I'm not exactly sure how they work.
Right, right.
But we really try to, again, have a broad range on offer. We do workshops at Literary Arts year-round, and so it's a good way for people to kind of get something a little bit different than what they might be taking at our space, or to kind of, if they've been thinking about taking a class with us, to sample what that might be like.
Mm-hmm. And you have many partnerships.
Yes.
Talk about the partnerships and what mm-hmm. what they're like and how they work.
We couldn't do the festival without partners. It's like truly a community-wide effort. You know, I mentioned the Portland Art Museum. They've been a wonderful partner from the get-go. And Multnomah County Library has also been a partner from the beginning of the relaunch of the festival. And their librarians from the Reader's Advisory will be on site. And so they'll be at both areas of the book festival. And if you're like, I have this voucher and I'm not sure how to spend it, the librarians can help you pick what you might be interested in reading and picking up that day at the festival. And so we're really glad to work with them. The IPRC, the Independent Publishing Resource Center, will be there.
He's going to move in.
Yeah, they're going to be your neighbors.
Very near, yes.
Mm-hmm. They'll have a print pool, so you'll be able to screen print. I don't know if that's the exact right term, but something like screen printing your very own festival souvenir, which they did last year, which was really, really exciting. And there's honestly too many partners to name. You know, we have Dennis Uniform, who donated the T-shirts for our volunteers. We have Elephants Delicatessen, who we work with. And I'll get in trouble with our development if I keep naming them and like miss some people.
So, right.
Yeah, but we're really, really grateful to everybody. And it's important to us that it is a community event, because we want to be responsive to what the community wants and what they're looking for.
And the Lit Crawl that's happening on Friday night, a little bit more about that. How does that actually work?
Yeah. So one of the coolest things about Lit Crawl is it's all free. There's no tickets to any of the Lit Crawl events. And Lit Crawl is a national, it's a global actually program now. There's one in Helsinki. And it's the program of Lit Quake, which is just wrapped up in San Francisco as a festival down there. And so the Lit Crawl is in three phases. So it's a progressive event. So it starts down on the South Park blocks, the Art Museum's a venue, and the Art Bar at Portland 5 and a couple other places down there. And the first phase is from 6 to 6:45. And then you'll move a little bit north, and there's a second phase from 7 to 7:45, a third phase from 8 to 8:45. And within each phase, there's many events. There's over 40 events that are a part of the crawl. So if you arrive and something's full, there's probably something around the corner that you might want to go to.
And one example of one of those events, that we mentioned Genius, but there's What's another?
Yeah, there's a Make Your Own Zine workshop at Literary Arts. There's a bunch of the local reading series are doing special Lit Crawl events. Get Nervous is doing an all-queer reading, which is really exciting. Unchased Readers is doing an event, Dim Summer Book Club, Peacock, Portland Creatives of Color. There's a reading from the Powell's employees, actually, are doing an event at their union shop, which is really cool. And then a lot of the presenting authors, we have an event with the Whiting Awards. So there's a really broad range of really like kind of grassroots things to, you know, the Whiting Awards, which they're actually doing some sort of Pictionary-based thing. So it's going to be very silly in a great way. Yeah. And that's kind of the ethos of Lit Crawl is they like to use the word madcap, but I think of it as unconventional literary events. A lot of them are very interactive or highly themed in unconventional spaces. Like we have the Oregon Ballet School, Rudy's Barbershop, places that you wouldn't typically be like, oh, obviously there will be a book reading here. Because I really believe that book events are fun. Like I don't subscribe to that idea that it's like a someone like droning on and like elbow patches in front of a like leather bound, like cigar scented, whatever. Maybe that's fun for some people, but I think that Lit Crawl especially really makes book culture and literary events accessible to everybody and can be a great way in if you've just, you know, been curious about this sort of thing and, mm-hmm. and weren't quite ready. So.
Right. Right. Well, we're almost out of time, but I wanted to ask you again, how does someone find out more about this? How does someone pre-register that kind of information?
Yeah, the best hub of information is the website Literary Arts, I'm not going to spell it, but literary-arts.org. You can also follow us at Literary Arts on Twitter, Instagram, and on Facebook. We're just Literary Arts, and we'll be updating about the different events. We have, you know, partner events with the Northwest Film Center and Livewire and Literary Deathmatch, and there's a lot of things going on that weekend, but you can find all the information and where to go for all of that at our website. And you can buy tickets. Again, please buy tickets in advance. You save $3, and you'll get in faster.
And again, the dates that we're talking about.
Yeah, the festival is on Saturday, November 5th. Doors are at 9 and it'll wrap up by 6. The Lit Crawl is the night before on Friday, November 4th from 6 to 9. And tickets are on sale now.
And just briefly, what else is Literary Arts up to these days?
Yeah, we're excited. We're opening our Portland Arts and Lecture season tonight with Louise Erdrich, which we're thrilled about. She's one of the greatest American writers, and we've been really trying to bring her here for a long time, and we're excited that she'll be here. And then in November, we have Don DeLillo with Noah Hawley. Yeah, it's like it's a busy fall. We also, you know, our youth programs, our Writers in the Schools program has the College Essay Mentoring Project that's going on right now, where we have mentors come in and help a lot of students who are the first people in their family to go to college or who just need some help writing that entrance essay. So that's going on with that program. The Oregon Book Awards are in the middle of deciding the finalists and things like that. So that's a very secret process that I'm not allowed to know what's happening. And then our Delve Reader seminars and our writing workshops are taking place at the space, as well as at Literary Arts events. We do free events in our community space downtown pretty much weekly or more. So
great.
We'll keep them busy.
Yeah. Thank you for that. That's a lot of information and a lot of activity, and it's great to hear about it and
let people who are
interested in books and literature, it's great to let them know about it. So thank you very much, Amanda Bullock.
Thank you. Thanks, Kathleen.
Yeah, you're welcome. Wordstock Festival Director, talking about Wordstock coming up on November 5th and Lit Crawl coming up on Friday, November 4th, the night before. Again, this has been Kathleen Stevenson today on Between the Covers. Thank you for listening. If you missed any of today's program, want to hear it again, you can go to kboo.fm/betweenthecovers later today. Thanks to Rock for engineering, and stay tuned for reggae music coming right up.